You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 85, Electrical Storm Cloud.
Episode 85 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is May the 13th, 2013. My name is Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my sleepy slash bloody brother, James Furlough.
Bloody?
Well, you know, it's not your blood. But I'm sure, as everybody is noticing right now, your week has been totally cast asunder. You're frustrated. You're wondering, why hasn't the podcast been posted today? It's already Monday. You're not supposed to do the podcast on Monday. Well, guess what? We are. Because of circumstances outside of our control.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, mostly. And it's like super late at night, but both of us are drinking our particular brand of energy drink. And
seriously, I just got fruit juice all over my keyboard.
That's rough, man. Because that's one of those expensive Mac ones, isn't it?
Yeah, but it looks like I was able to clean it, and so we're good. Hey, do nice. I sound like I'm inside of an echo chamber?
Fortress of Solitude? A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Because there's no carpet in this room anymore, and you're a huge echo.
Yeah.
Echo.
You know, honestly, if you hadn't pointed it out to me and the audience, I don't think anyone would have noticed it. So thanks for that.
There you
appreciate
go. No problems. Now you all can enjoy my plight with me.
Yeah, you know what? That's what's important, really. That not that you feel better, but everybody feels as bad as you.
Yeah, I don't have to win as long as everybody else loses.
Right.
And also, just want to apologize for the squeaky chair that when you hear this, that's my chair.
What happened to your bouncy ball, man?
The carpet is no longer in this room and there are staples everywhere.
Oh.
I decided it probably wasn't the best idea to sit on a rubber object.
It's one of those, it's not that it's a hardwood floor, it's just that it's carpetless. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, that's different. Okay, well, you know, home improvement aside, let's talk about tech this week. So this week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations, dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and, of course, the technology they are developing. Before we get into the heart of the show, though, James has got a short disclosure he wants to throw your way. So throw away.
Hi, I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. It's good to say. Required.
It's true, yeah. If you want to follow us throughout the week, get updates, find out when we're going to not be doing the show on time, you can go and go to our Twitter accounts. My handle is at Matthew D. Furlough. That's one word. The D right in the middle. Stands for Dean.
And I am at James Furlough.
Nice. And then if you want to go to the show main website place in the universe, I don't actually know the IP address for it, but I do know the URL, which is almost as good. It's furloughbros.com. Check that out. We got all sorts of clicks and links there. We put all the website, we put all the podcast stuff, breaking them into their different little chunks. We put pictures there of what the podcast is about and titles and various other words and links, like all the articles and videos that we'll be talking about this week. But check it out. It's pretty awesome. Man, good times.
So I'm going to start this off with some awesome news that is also a sore spot for me.
Mm-hmm.
So Runkeeper has announced that they are now supporting the Pebble watches, like they promised way back at the beginning when it first started. Essentially, Pebble, you know, they did their whole Kickstarter thing, which I bought into, and and they were like, you could do things like track your running progress, and I think it was like, something like Runkeeper wrote them an open letter, just like, hey, give us a call. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And so that was what happened, and everyone got like super pumped and excited. And so it is finally, they're like, hey, we've done it. You can now use Runkeeper and Pebble together, and it's awesome. And they made a little video that shows it, and it's awesome. And so once I get my white Pebble, which is still not even being manufactured because it's the last color they're going to do because of something, eventually I'll get to try it. Probably December of this year.
I'll be totally honest with you, James. I nearly bought a black one just to upset you. Which, when I realized that that was why I was doing it, it seemed like an awful expenditure of money. But I almost had it justified.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. I was just going to show off. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the other thing. I don't think it would actually have affected you that much, so really.
Yeah, I just want to play with it and actually use it and have one. I've thought about switching over to the black, but I mean, because I could have if I really wanted it, but
you know. I have to tell you a story. So I went to Cabo a couple weeks ago, as everybody who listens to the show regularly knows. And the night before we left to Cabo, because I'm a glutton for punishment sometimes, it's like we're not going to work Friday, it's Thursday night, we got to be up at 6 to go to the airport. But what do I do to this like small group of friends that I went with? I was like, hey, we should go out tonight. That's a great idea. And because they're all gluttons for punishment too, we all went out Thursday night. But while we were out, I ran into this dude that a bunch of the girls were flirting with. Because he's like crazy rich. I'm like, well, why are you crazy rich? He goes, oh, I work for Apple. Like, oh, cool. You for Apple. Oh, I'm in charge of their marketing campaigns. Like, I'm the guy in charge of Apple.com. Ooh. Oh, okay. So then like now I need to like change my conversation. So I was like talking about, it's like, do you get like early updates on products and stuff? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like, how early do you know about new stuff? He goes, I learned about new products about a year out from their launch. You know, I'm pretty early on the product pipeline so that I can, like, you know, do all sorts of stuff.
Really?
And obviously, given the context of this conversation, I was like, oh, cool. That's awesome. So, I guess I just got one more question. So I was talking with my brother, and I was really considering buying a Pebble watch because they seemed pretty cool. I like them but I'm wondering if, you know, somebody in your position might recommend me, I don't know, waiting a few months before I go and do that. And he goes, honestly, I'll be totally honest with you. With something like that, I would have to say you're going to have to make up your own mind on it. I was like, oh, okay. Interesting. That's, you know.
Is that okay?
And I was like, sure. I was like, so what you're saying is I have to think about it. You don't have any recommendations. You don't have anything. And he's like, honestly, you could buy me drinks all night long. You can get me totally tanked, and I would not be able to comment on something like that. I was like, oh, okay. So you can't comment on it. That's, you know what? That's good enough for me. And he goes, ugh. I was like, what? And he goes, it's funny. They actually make us take security classes on how to answer questions like that. And one of the things they say is, you got to be really careful about when you say, I'm not going to answer that question. Because people walk away going, oh, you know, perfect. That's all I needed to know. So the fact that he wouldn't answer the question was good enough for me. I'm gonna wait at least a couple more months. You know, I'll wait till 2013 before I decide on my smartwatch technology. Man, makes me wish I was.
Both. I don't know.
What?
I might own them both. I don't know.
Right, that's a good point. You know what? Honestly, who am I kidding? I've got two wrists, right? Like, why not?
Well, I need a work watch, and then I'll have my normal everyday watch.
Exactly.
And I'll have my fancy watch. You know, it's cool. I can have multiple watches.
Yeah, me too.
And then I have my glasses that I wear when it's socially acceptable, which is turning out to be very rare occasions.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Man, the only thing dumber than the Google Glass controversy right now is the 3D printed gun controversy right now. Oh, my goodness. There are guys that are, like, proposing legislation that you'll have to get, like, full background checks to own a 3D printer. They're like, dude, we can literally go to any like hobby machine shop with a downloaded copy of like a CNC program to cut the body out of a gun and put a block of aluminum into a CNC machine, put the jump drive in, press start, and it will cut it out for you. Like, are you people stupid? Like, there's like, what the heck? And I feel the same way with like, with Google Glass. Like, I honestly have my phone out like 98% of the time. I literally set my phone on the table in when like I'm at the bars now, because I want to be able to pick it up and take a picture if like I get the spur, you know, like what? What I'm trying to say is, don't worry, people get over it, and soon.
Agreed. I understand. But I'm just saying, I can have it all. It's okay. I can own them both.
It's true.
I could always sell my Pebble for less than what I bought it for, I suppose. You know, yeah. If I deem the iWatch to be amazing. But yeah, I'll get there.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyways, so, it's coming out. It's official. One more reason to get a Pebble and wait for it.
No, I kind of want one. Actually, I really want one, but not yet. So this is kind of cool. I've become a fan over the last couple of years of CPU development technology, which puts me into a really kind of esoteric small group of people following this trend. But you know, I like talking about it, so hopefully you guys like listening to it. But Facebook and Google, there's this like new trend going on in CPU development that's pretty unique. Because it used to be for the longest time, you know, different guys, like when at the beginning of the industry, you'd be building a CPU, you'd be building a chip, and guys would like, they'd build their own, like, you know, you'd be developing your own language sets, your own tools and everything. And everybody was trying to figure out the best way to build a CPU to make it most universal. And Intel obviously did a pretty good job. And one of the things that they really did was because they were, because of, you know, they're really smart guys, they got a pretty good user base of like people who are familiar with their commands and everything for their assembly languages. But one of the things that they, as they've moved forward, they've always focused on making the most universal chipsets, things that would be most useful to everybody, which is really like, you know, if you look at like what has Microsoft's big thing been over the last 20 years, what's been made them so successful? Well, it's primarily the fact that they, you know, build these, an operating system that can run anything. It gives people a lot of, you know, flexibility. So everything has been about flexibility and the biggest, you know, the biggest tent that you possibly have. Well, and you know, there's been this trend in the last, you know, 10 years that starts sort of moving away from that in the idea of building, you know, smartphones and tablets and stuff, things that are task hardware, software designed for task specific things. And they're still really universal, but they're becoming more pigeonholed, where you'll have more, and it turns out CPU technology is doing the same thing, but it started doing it in, like, behind closed doors, where basically, like, companies that buy gigantic numbers of Intel chips directly from Intel, specifically Facebook, Amazon, and Google, are actually, like, talking to the engineers at Intel, and basically, like, look, we want to, this is how our software does what it does. We want to be able to do that. So if you could make it do that in the hardware, that'd be fantastic.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is pretty, it has a lot to do with like how, you know, with the limitations of Moore's law, because Moore's law was all about, you know, the number of transistors you could fit into an area.
Right.
And then it was kind of extrapolated out to be, that power consumption would also, or they called it more than Moore.
of course.
And basically what they were talking about is that as the transistors got smaller, they would require less energy. Well, that actually ended up not being true. And so there's this limitation to processing power, and there's a more direct limitation to the broader idea of Moore's law, which is that every 18 months processing power doubles. So Moore's law is still stayed relatively true in its original form, that the number of transistors doubles every 8 months that we can fit into a given area. But because like power consumption doesn't scale at the same rate, overall processing power doesn't scale at the same rate. So there's this kind of, it's breaking down. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. So there's been a move to building hardware specific tasks, things that the hardware will do for the software guys that will allow you to basically give the, you know, the performance of something that continues to scale at that logarithmic rate. So who do you choose to do that for? Well, you know, the guys that buy the most chips, your biggest. Right. And what's really fascinating about that, this is, it used to be that was Microsoft in essence, because the biggest purchasers were HP, Apple, Intel, Dell, Lenovo, all of your laptop, desktop OEMs. But now, because they're no longer, I mean, they're not even in the same ballpark of being your biggest purchasers, it's now the server guys. They're getting to basically pick what the roadmap is for the future. So now they're talking about, and they're doing it, like, they're not doing it very openly. So this was talking about, like, new instruction sets that are being dropped into the new architectures, and how, like, people are like, what is this instruction for? This is ridiculous. It's like, it's proposed that it's like supposed to be like this open, you know, it's like supposed to be this general thing that everybody could use, but people are looking at it like, that's super specific. Like, why would anybody use that? And that's it. And basically what they're saying, what they're coming to the conclusion is that it's either for Google or Facebook or Amazon, somebody who's doing huge server works, and it has to do with how their specific software works. So I don't know. It's interesting. This doesn't affect the end consumer very directly, but I think it will, you know, over time, you'll see the fingerprints of that more and more in what kind of, you know, especially if you're like, even if you're just a developer, like on phones and stuff, you will build these entire models of how to build programs based on the models that, you know, the model of programming that guys like, you know, Facebook and Google are setting the stage for right now. It's interesting. Interesting trend.
So, okay. Yeah, that is interesting. All I really want to know is, when are we going to start integrating memristors into CPUs?
You know what? Honestly, I'm the wrong person to ask, since I don't work for Hewlett-Packard and the guys who are actually doing that sort of stuff.
It's all open source or whatever, you know.
Open license. Yeah, I don't know. I think that one, I think, will take a little bit of time.
The next level. That's what I want to know, you know?
Yeah. I honestly, there's a little piece of me that thinks that we're going to leapfrog that into CPU technology. I bet we leapfrog it. I bet they find some sort of a weird use in really specific types of chips for specific tasks, but just your general purpose CPUs. Because if you think about it, like, you know, the big goal in all of this is to, whenever you come out with the new technologies, you want it to be even if it's not reverse compatible with software and hardware that's been made, you want the architecture, the idea of it, to be reverse compatible so that developers feel comfortable when they jump onto it.
Right.
And so doing that with memristors, and I am not an expert, so if somebody's listening to the show and goes, this guy's an idiot, he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. Well, probably. I have a little idea what I'm talking about. But how I understand it is, one of the issues is that you have to, like, rethink through how you build instruction sets, because it's – or how you design the architecture so that you can design it in such a way that they use the same instruction sets. They work the same way. And it just becomes this real hairy mess where you don't necessarily get a big performance boost out of it, because you're not – you got to rethink it from the ground up. And so I think where you'll really see them is in areas where you can rethink how to build your architectures from the ground up. And then all of a sudden you'll see these chipsets that will be used in, you know, like I said, specific, like, memory storage, memory processing type stuff. I don't know exactly where you'll see it, but I think that's when you'll start to see the explosion. Whereas with CPUs, you'll see them start to move into 3D CPUs and move away from silicon before they move towards memristors. It's my guess.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, let's get there.
Yeah. Come on. I know that time, like, technology moves crazy fast right now, but it's still too slow.
Seriously. On that front, it is.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously.